Hello, and welcome to Too Many RPGs, a show about RPG shows.
It's sort of like when you get Jell-O, you have to, like, melt it down first with boiling hot water, and then you put it in the refrigerator so it can cool and solidify. Our show is the steamy hot process of boiling Jell-O, and the podcast in your head is the part that Jell-O-fies in the fridge.
What?
Jell-O's delicious. I've been thinking about Jell-O all day. It's really hot here. It's like 109.
So, like, you want Jell-O, but you don't want to make Jell-O.
No, we are the Jell-O.
Like, I'm so... What?
Yes. Finally got you!
This is...
No? What? Do we need to start over again?
I don't... I'm just... It's fine. It's cool. We're Jell-O. Okay,
J-E-L-L-O.
Yeah. Are we, like, do we have fruit in our Jell-O, or are we just, like, pure Jell-O?
I mean, do we want to name fruit that we most resemble?
I don't know. I feel like that's, like, a very conceptual
question.
Like
strawberries.
You like strawberries?
Strawberries are delicious.
I like cherries. Those are my favorite fruit.
I mean, and they are a very good team.
They are. Perfect.
Okay, we should probably move on to our guest. So this week, we're talking about heart points with Lauren. Lauren?
Hello! It's me! I scheduled myself.
Lauren.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just really want to talk about my favorite podcast, and you wouldn't listen
to me.
It's
finally come down to this.
You won't let me talk about it unless we did it in the podcast. So I just was like, that's not true. All right, that's not, I don't...
No.
I just really want to talk about the show. Let me talk about the show, Ethan.
All right, let's talk about the show.
Okay.
What is Heart Points?
Heart Points is a... Oh, I should really, like, prepared.
We don't normally have to do anything for the show.
Yeah. Heart Points is a one-to-one RPG podcast run by a husband and wife. And...
So, Dinah, why did we choose the name Heart Points? Why are we Heart Points?
We are Heart Points because we are a married couple who mm-hmm. are in love most of the time and who occasionally, and by occasionally, I mean he makes me, play role-playing games. And we are going to be podcasting it, just the two of us, because I don't know. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Absolutely, right. And we settled on Heart Points because we were talking about different names and liked the idea of HP.
Whoa, this is hard.
Well, let's start simple. What system are they playing in?
So they play in a whole lot of systems, actually. The main game that they're playing is Dungeon World.
Okay.
But they also sometimes will have, you know, kind of special brief other episodes. So they've played games like, I think they played like a D&D game, like a one-shot. They've played Breaking the Ice by Emily Kerr Boss. They've played Murderous Ghosts by the Bakers, and they've played Starcrossed, the Jenga smooching game.
Sorry, every time I hear about Starcrossed, it's such a the silliest game mechanic conceit ever. It's about smooching in Jenga.
When you get Jenga, they smooch, I'm pretty sure. I backed it on Kickstarter because I was really excited about it because it's totally my thing and I just haven't read the rules. But I'm pretty sure, yeah, it's like the whole conceit of it is that they're two people who like shouldn't be together but want to be together and they have to like hold themselves back. And then when the Jenga tower falls over, it's like they can't resist anymore.
Got it. Let's talk about the main campaign.
Yeah.
I guess for the most part.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm sure we're already known for tangents on the show when we're talking about one thing.
It's true. Yeah. So right now their first kind of campaign is a Dungeon World game. It's about this girl named Conce Sao, or Sao for short. And Diana based her off of like the president's daughter in movies where the president's daughter will run away and go on an adventure and usually fall in love. And so she's a guild leader's daughter who has decided to run off to the big city of Segranza and just have an adventure. while she's there, she kind of gets caught up in the politics of the town and causes a lot of trouble. And it's very interesting kind of mechanically, because of course Dungeon World isn't meant for one player.
I was actually going to ask about that, because bonds are a big part of Dungeon World.
Yeah, and they really, one of the things that they talk about is that they really haven't found a good way to get around that. So they just don't really have bonds. We're trying to figure out. But it means that leveling up has been a lot slower for advancement purposes. And they've been playing around with other ways of getting more XP for
failing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for failing. Yeah, just, I mean, because here's the thing. If you roll really well on a session, then you just don't get XP. So how else do you get XP if you're having, if the dice are on your side, right? And it balances out a little bit because she's doing a lot more rolls, but they've tried a few things. They've tried things like highlighting stats and doing things. So, and sometimes he just kind of almost milestones her.
It's been long enough.
Yeah, you've done enough stuff to level up. You should do that. I mean, that's one of the kind of interesting things about playing a game that's not meant for one-to-one.
Right, because a lot of RPGs aren't, which is kind of what makes this interesting, because I not watched the show, but from what you've told me, just there's got to be a very interesting dynamic when you have a one-to-one, because most RPGs are not meant for two people.
Yeah,
they're meant for groups.
I've played a couple one-to-one, one-to-one D&D kind of stuff, and it seems very tiring. They only do about 1 hour session. The episodes are about an hour long, so they do very short sessions. I don't know how many they record in a day, but it's hard to go on for much longer than a couple hours, because you're carrying so much. The DM has to, there are so many more NPCs in a one-to-one game. The decision-making process is on one player.
I imagine you get a lot more stuff done because you don't have to argue with anybody about, hey, we should do this. No, we should do this. There's none of that. It becomes, what do I want to do? I have full agency over this.
You'd think that. But a couple episodes ago, they just, at the time of recording, they've just released episode 32. So I think it was episode 29 or 30. The entire episode is spent on a staircase. It takes her an hour long plus, how much editing has gone down to get down a staircase. Because if you're not great at making decisions, on the one hand, the arguing can take up a lot of time, but also hearing different perspectives and things you might not have thought of is very valuable when you're trying to make a decision that could be life or death.
Right.
Which it often is in these, some of these more violent RPGs. Especially when you're the only player and you're facing off these enemies kind of alone. They have mitigated that a little bit in recent episodes, looking at some of the other things people have produced for Dungeon World, supplemental material, including follower moves. Perilous Wilds, I think it is, which is, I don't know if it's a supplement written by somebody else or their own thing. Yeah. But yes, it is the follower moves from Perilous Wilds, which is, you're rolling against loyalties. The stat you roll is the loyalty that this NPC has against you. And so you can fight, a mob of people and then not have, it's not just one person against 1,000 thugs, because that gets real, real hard, real fast. And also Diana is quite cautious as a player. She, I think, is used to playing games like Torchbearer. And so she's used to games that are a lot more deadly.
Oh, yeah.
I think. Mm. And so something like going down a staircase into enemy territory, she's going to be very, very careful. And she's going to try and talk her way through as much as she can. And it gets very long. And so there's a couple moments where, as a player, I totally understand the need to be I want all of the information and I want to do this without losing, with talking as much as possible. And then I can also see the side of the dungeon master being oh my gosh, just walk down the staircase. I promise I won't kill you on the staircase. Like, it's fine. So it's a very interesting dynamic just between player and GM. But it's also really interesting because they are a couple. And what first really attracted me to this podcast is you listen to the first episode and they give kind of a background about what is kind of going on, like why they decided to start it. And essentially, the whole thing is that Zach loves role-playing games. And Diana is married to a person who loves role-playing games.
Yeah, okay.
And as my boyfriend can confirm, when you are in a relationship with a person who loves role-playing games, you play a lot of role-playing games.
Right, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, and she has definitely is a fan of role-playing games. You know, she's having a good time. She's not being, like, forced to do this and have a miserable time.
Right, nobody likes that.
But that's kind of, like, how she got into the hobby. And I listened to this podcast with my boyfriend, and just the similarities between my boyfriend and I and Zach and Diana are just striking. Like, every time we listen to something, and they'll often banter in between things into, like, you know, general cute couple-y arguments, and every time it's just like, they're us. Like, I totally understand how this feels. And so it's very charming because you can see that they really care about each other. You can see that they're a really good couple and they're telling a really, really excellent story.
So you mentioned that because the story is girl goes off to have adventures.
Yes.
What kind of adventures does she have? Is it you kill 10 rats in the sewers, haha, or is it like cat burgling?
It's actually become some very interesting political intrigue.
Okay.
And it's a great example of the player kind of, you know, when you have all of these fronts planned that are like big and epic and arching, and then your players are kind of like, okay, but I want to be really interested in this one NPC's life. And then, you know, the game becomes about this one NPC. What this turned into is that when Sao entered Sigvansa, one of the first things she notices is that there are quite a few gnolls in the city, and they're treated terribly. They are pretty much forced to live in the worst part of town. It's called Corpse Town. It's where they do all of their sky burials, and the gnolls don't mind living there because the smell of rotting bodies doesn't bother them that much. But at some point it became that they were forced to live there, and they have to deal with a lot of prejudice because people think that they're, you know, rabid, vicious, awful people, and they actually have, you know, quite a very robust society and, you know, like a really different and interesting culture. Mm-hmm. And Sao runs across a gnoll, befriends a gnoll named Omen, and on her very first night there, is walking him home and comes across a group of thugs called the Gnoll Chasers, which are just awful people who attack gnolls if they aren't in Corpse Town. And it becomes very clear that these Gnoll Chasers are actually being supported by the City Guard. Many of the Gnoll Chasers are members of the City Guard, and the leader of the City Guard, whose name, a woman named Messia, is, we're not 100% sure if she is just turning a blind eye or if she's actively supporting this. And so the game has kind of turned into Sao's involvement in, you know, taking down the corrupt guard and, you know, kind of fighting for the rights of the gnolls. And it gets very interesting because she becomes this kind of like flashpoint and causes a lot of trouble, and people and some gnolls end up getting hurt, or she's starting riots, or all of this happens, and she's kind of the powder keg that lit all of this off. And not all of the gnolls are really happy with this human girl from out of town coming, and despite the fact that she wants to help, is sometimes not helping. And Diana, as a player, does a really good job of playing to Sao's desire to help in ways that may not be helpful, but knowing that she is, that Sao is maybe not being the most helpful. Like, there was a really interesting moment where she was talking to a gnoll matriarch who was kind of saying, like, all you've done is bring trouble to us. You need to just go home and leave us alone. And Sal defending herself and saying, like, no, no, I'm really doing this. And Diana at some point going out of character and going, listen, this woman is not wrong. Like, this is definitely Sal's fault. But she doesn't, like, she doesn't realize she's doing it that way. And so kind of see that Sal is trying not to speak on behalf of the marginalized people because she's this privileged human girl, but she is trying to use her position of privilege and her political connections to help. But there's still lots of fights. At one point, she starts a riot. She's finally been going through this dungeon, finally got down the staircase and been fighting some people. And so it's a really interesting mix of action and politics and Sal just trying to get to the library because she just wants to read about all of this. Like, she learned something and she's like, she learned something new and is like, okay, now I need to get to the library. But, like, there's always something preventing her from getting to the library.
I mean, that's probably on the MC. Just like, no, you can't just always go to the library.
Yeah.
Every time you go to the library, I'm gonna throw something at you, okay? Like,
you can't just do that. Yeah. Well, and it's very, like, Sal is actually, they made a custom playbook for her. Kind of combining, like, the bard and the fool and a few other things. So, like, she wants to read things because that's the kind of girl Sal is, you know, like, she's been locked up in a tower, not really allowed to go outside by herself, so all she does is read. And so when she learns new things, she wants to back that up. She always wants to, like, to read a book because that's, in her mind, the best way to get information rather than talking to people, which is generally the way you learn things in a more action art kind of thing. It's been very interesting. Like, she hasn't had her weapon for about half the campaign. She loses her rapier, which is kind of a finesse weapon, and then she hasn't got a finesse weapon back, so now anytime she attacks, she's rolling with strength, which is her worst stat. And so that's been very interesting, because usually in a game, like, you know, in a dungeon crawly kind of game, don't take away your player's weapon, you know?
I mean, you do.
Well, you do, but, like, you don't want to, or you, like, find another way for them to get it. It's very kind of, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if there's ever been, like, I've ever come across something like this where it's just, like, half of the campaign, like, fighting is not her best option.
That's interesting, because it does seem like an intrigue game, and taking away the weapon that would be best for fighting,
yeah,
makes you less inclined to fight.
Which I think has backfired on Zach a little bit, because sometimes he's just like, just stop talking to these people and, you know, go down the staircase and fight them. You can totally take them. But because you're all of a sudden rolling with a -1,
right,
you don't want to do that, you know?
Like, you still have a better than average chance of hitting.
But it doesn't feel that way if you don't know all the math.
It's, oh man, -1. Oh, that's bad. That's bad news.
The other thing that I really like about Diana is because she really likes, you know, like, romance novels and rom-coms. Obviously, she based her character off of a rom-com trope. She has been going through the game kind of looking, like, pointing out various characters as love interests. And listing them off. So she's had, like, 3 or 4 love interests.
Okay.
That she's been kind of keeping track. And it's never, nothing has ever come to any of it, because just the way she has bigger fish to fry, essentially. But
she's keeping track.
But she's keeping track, and every so often she'll try and, like, put in a really nice moment, to the point where sometimes, like, there's this, she had an NPC who was, like, kind of a bad dude, but he was one of the love interests. And so she'll sometimes, like, she'll be like, oh, I hold his hand, and you're like, why? He's terrible. Like, please don't do that. Diana has mentioned before that, like, that's kind of something, like, stories don't really interest her unless there's some kind of romance element, which is, I think, kind of why she's putting it in. And it's very fun, because every time you meet a new character, you're like, oh, is this a love interest, you know? Or, like, when she's talking to love interest number 2, she's like, is this the moment? Is it, you know, is she gonna make a move? Is this gonna, like, be a thing?
So there's a lot of, like, fake tension.
Yeah, she's definitely, like, trying to push the tension that's there. And, I mean, I don't know. I enjoy it. I'm a fan of in-game relationships with NPCs, and so I have a ship in the game, in Heartpoints. Like, there's an NPC I hope she ends up with. I hope she ends up with her Null friend, Omen, because... I don't know. They just seem to have the best relationship of her four love interests.
Right. One of which who is also terrible.
Apparently. One of which tried to, like, mug her on her very first day.
That's a trope, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's totally a trope.
The thief who ends up stealing your heart.
Yeah, it's totally a trope. And she's, like, kicked his ass a bunch, and, like, I don't think it's ever gonna happen. I'm pretty sure he hates her, but...
Okay.
You know, I think Diana just has fun kind of messing with Zach in that way. Yeah. But yeah, it's a very interesting story. It's not something you usually see in a lot of dungeon crawly kind of systems, but I think it works, you know? Like, a lot of times when you say, like, oh, if you want to play a political intrigue game, you should play a game that is better suited for political intrigue, that supports political intrigue kind of more mechanically. But I think this came about really naturally, as all of a sudden, like, this was something that was important to the player to pursue. And so even though the MC, Zach, had tried to get her into a whole bunch of dungeons before, get her into a more adventure-y kind of front, this was the one that struck her interest. And so it becomes an intrigue game, and it becomes something that you have to put adventure into as well. So
that's always interesting to me, is when people try to, because games are games, right? That's just when you try to take the mechanics of something and turn it into something else, sometimes you end up with very interesting things. Like Dungeon World, like you said, is not meant for intrigue, but it has elements of it. There's the tools there. There's not many of them, but there's definitely enough there to make that work properly,
and it's been working really, really well. You know, I never, like, there are lots of episodes that go by without fights. There are lots of episodes that are just kind of her exploring the city and getting lost.
As you do.
I'm never like, oh man, I wish she would just get to a fight already, or, you know, oh, I wish she would stop exploring and, like, have an argument with this person. Like, it's always really, no episode ever seems filler, because it's all really important to Sao and what Sao would do. And Sao's just so lovable, you just want to follow her around and follow her story no matter what. But yeah, I don't know, it's just such a good game. It's the only podcast right now that I listen to, like, on a schedule. Like, I get really excited every Monday when it comes out. It's the first thing on my list every week, all the time. Other podcasts, I can miss an episode, or I can, like, kind of hold it off. But because I listen to this with my boyfriend, sometimes he'll be like, okay, you don't have to give me a ride to work today, but give me a ride to work today so we can listen to this episode. And it is the only actual play that my boyfriend will listen to, including all of the actual plays that I'm in. He won't even watch or listen to those, but he'll go for this podcast, so.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't think it's anything against me. I think it's more, or against the games that I'm on. I think it's just, there's something really nice about the combination of story and banter that this podcast has that just really works, because table talk and crosstalk don't distract in the same way when it's just two people.
Right, because it's all informative.
Yeah, it's all related, and it's not like, you know, somebody's trying to do something and you're distracted by somebody else making a joke. It's all just,
right,
you know, if somebody makes a joke, we can stop, they can stop, they can laugh about it, they can, like, get off track, as we all do, and then they can go back to it and nobody feels, I don't know, shortchanged, because there's only two people and they were both involved in the conversation.
That's what it seems like. It's, everyone is always involved.
Yeah.
If you were to not involve somebody in a two-person game, you're just playing a game by yourself.
Yeah, it's very charming. It's very feel good. They're both teachers. They've both used RPGs in an educational way. Zach teaches a class on role-playing games at like a college level. And Diana's a school counselor and has talked about, you know, at a previous school that she would play Powered by the Apocalypse role-playing game to kind of help kids who have problems interacting.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a role-playing game, you can put people in social situations, and as the MC, you can control the reactions of the people around you and
right.
kind of create teaching moments for that, which I thought was very, very cool. And Zach is, I mean, he's into that hipster RPG bullshit, like,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times, you know, these conversations become, you know, on tangents, become conversations about design of RPGs and mechanics of RPGs. And I really enjoy talking with him on Twitter kind of about games and issues around games and all of that stuff. So it just kind of hits all of the story, banter, theory places in my brain.
Knowing you, this is filling in a lot of those gaps, right?
Yeah.
It's the actual, like, thinking about what do mechanics mean for story, and also how can a game help people?
Yeah, yeah. They recently kind of talked a lot about the importance of this game and the Sigranza campaign to them in light with what's kind of going on in the world today, and how there are a lot of, they didn't intend to make it kind of apt to some of the things that are happening, but it just kind of came out that way, and talking about RPGs as a way to, like, deal with some of those feelings and to, like, what it's like to be one person trying to do as much as they can in the face of injustice, and how role-playing games can be really important for that. I think in their most recent episode, they kind of said, like, you know, it's important to act in however you can, you know. Sao is a hero, not in, you know, like, a big save the world kind of way. She might not even be a hero in, like, save the city of Sigranza kind of way, but she's a hero in that she is doing what she can to make the world a better place for her and her friends. And that's really kind of valid and important. And so even though, you know, she's not fighting gods or exploring deep magical secrets, like, improving the lives of, you know, even one family is really important and something to think about in our kind of sad times of today. Not to get too political, but
it is interesting because you do, at a certain point with only one player, you do have to reduce scope almost. But they've managed to reduce scope while also increasing its effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The scope of it's very small, but it has a lot of meaning in it.
Yeah. It's not unbelievable that one person could change the world, you know, the actions of one person.
Right.
You know, especially in a fantasy kind of setting, you know, and there are definitely figures in the world, in the lore that are alluded to that have done big things and have changed the world. And so, you know, it kind of makes sense that, like, yes, Sao was the straw that broke the camel's back on this issue of racial tension that has been going on for God knows how long, but she's not going to be the one to fix it. And as I think they're kind of started, like, things have really come to a head now. There's a war in Corpse Town. The people Corpse Town have been locked in, refused to leave, like, you're not allowed to leave, and then it kind of turned into violence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're coming to the climax and the denouement of things, and Sao really doesn't want to leave until she knows that things are going to be better. But this is going to be, it'll be really interesting kind of going forward, because this is good, it's in real life that stuff takes a really long time, you know. There's a lot of healing that needs to be done, because, you know, as Diana rightfully points out, like, getting rid of Messia, getting rid of the corrupt guard isn't necessarily...
That's not a solution.
I mean, it's a solution, but it's not necessarily going to make things better. It's just going to prevent things from getting worse.
Right.
So it'll be really interesting to see how and where they kind of wrap up with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens after they defeat Messia, because, like, they're not interested in having her win. That's not the kind of game they want to play. So it'll be interesting to see how everything resolves kind of going forward.
So that's the point at time of recording. That's where we are in the show. We're at this boiling point where there's the tension has turned into actual fights.
Yeah.
And rebellion.
She's recently, at the end of the last episode, she made a deal with a crime organization that was previously renting out supplies and space to the Knoll Chasers, and in typical kind of, like, bad guy mercenary fashion, has realized that it's a bad deal, and perhaps he can fix things, you know, perhaps things are better for him if they get rid of Messia and if they get rid of the guard. So she now has a way to arm the people of Corpse Town.
Right.
And arm the people who are supporting Corpse Town, but it's just a question of how are they going to get there and who's going to be left and are they going to accept her help?
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, none of this would have happened right then if it wasn't for her.
Okay.
Yeah. They release episodes every week on Mondays, and it's like really the best part of my Monday, honestly.
All right. And what episode did you say that was?
Episode 32 at time of recording.
32. All right. I'm not used to doing this question thing.
Yeah. You're doing a great job, though.
You mean just not doing it? I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. Do we ever know what we're doing?
No, that's kind of our thing, that we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, okay. Gosh, I just read something that's like, what is the meme?
What is the meme? Oh.
Is there a meme in the show? Is there like something, is there like a...
Oh, there is a meme in the show. No, there...
Like, is there something that they always reference and come back to?
Yes, and... there literally is. So, at the beginning, like, Dan is just such a player. Like, she's a player after my own heart. One of the things that she talked about was, as she was getting ready, how she was kind of hiding all of this stuff, how she hid her rapier when she left, because she didn't want to just, like, necessarily advertise the fact that she had a rapier. So she would talk about having these really billowy pants that she could hide her rapier in.
Yes.
And she just, like, the way she would say, like, billowy pants. And, like, it, you know, it drove Zach crazy. And so, of course, she would say it very much. Also, they have the best sign-off in all of podcasts. Their outros are much better. I know. I think about it every time we do our terrible outros, which also kind of started as a joke at the end of their, I guess, first podcast. They were like, you know, have a nice day. And Diana was like, no, but like a really, really nice day.
Is
like,
there anything else you'd like to say?
Just have like a really nice day, guys. Just like a really nice one.
Have a good day, and we will see you in the next episode.
Don't have a good day. Like a nice day.
Okay, have a nice day.
Just like a really nice one.
Okay, I don't want you to have, like, I want it to be a really good day, not just like, oh, have a nice day. Like, I really want you to have a nice day. So at the end.
Have a nice day. Do it. Do the nice day.
So at the end of the podcast, Zach says, well, and have a nice day. And Diana goes, but like a very, very nice day. And it's so charming. But yes, I guess those are the big memes. Also, when they introduce themselves at the beginning, they're like, hello, I am your husband and GM, Zach, and I am your wife and player, Diana. And it always kind of throws me off a little bit at the beginning because they're like, hello, I am your husband.
I am your husband and GM, Zach.
And I am your wife and player, Diana.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
But it's cute. They're very cute.
Okay.
It's just kind of, yeah, it's cute. Those are the memes. There you go.
The memes.
The heart points memes.
All right. Billowy pants.
Very, very nice day.
Your husband.
They are married to all of us. Everyone listening.
Yeah. All right. As is tradition, fill in the blank. If you like blank, you'll like heart points.
Oh my gosh. This is really hard because, like, this podcast, I mean, as we've discovered in this interview, this podcast is 100% made specifically for me.
Right, but, like, so if you like Lauren...
If you like me, you'll like this podcast. No, if you like people who really like each other having a good time.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah.
I think especially, you should always be listening to people who enjoy enjoy time together, right?
Yeah.
In any RPG situation, you want people to enjoy the fact that they're playing RPGs together.
Mm-hmm.
But especially in a duo campaign.
Yeah.
Right? With two people.
Yeah. I guess if you like love and people in love who also want to play RPGs, you'll like this show.
If you like people who love and RPGs.
Yeah. Love each other and love RPGs, maybe. I don't know.
Cool.
We did it.
Perfect.
We did it. Very good job interviewing. Woo! Ethan. You did it. I'm proud of
I
you.
Did it all by myself.
You did.
I didn't even have Lauren here to help me.
Nope. who's Lauren? What are you talking about? Different Lauren. I'm totally not the same Lauren who does this podcast.
Don't lie to our audience. I did enough of that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Lauren, thank you for joining me on the podcast to talk about your favorite show.
Yes, thank you for letting me talk about my favorite show. Ever since we started this podcast, I was like, hey, Ethan, can I be on the show? Like, as an interviewer?
It's been months.
And so I finally convinced him. I was like, Ethan, let me do the thing. Let me talk about my show.
And I said, yeah, sure.
Yeah. So.
But it was good.
It was fair.
Good,
yeah.
Good times.
This is great. I mean, I feel the joy that all of our interview guests get to feel where they just get to talk about the thing they really love a lot. Like, it's such a high. It's like.
That's good.
I could just ramble on forever about how much I love this show.
Please don't.
Oh. Okay.
We gotta fit in the time constraint. You don't have to bound your love.
Well, if you want to talk to me more about why I love this show a lot, you can find my Twitter. Usually we do this at the end, but this is what we do at the end of the interviews, so I don't know.
This is the end.
Is this just the outro now? Okay.
Yeah, we're in outro time.
Sweet. Oh my gosh. Everything's different. There are no rules now.
Woo. Ethan's in charge. There's no rules.
Podcast anarchy.
Woo.
Yeah, you can talk to me at my Twitter, at JL_nicegirl. I'm on a lot of other, we don't talk about this a lot because we're usually talking about the other people on the show who are more important than us, but I'm on a lot of like Twitch streams playing various and sundry RPGs. I'm especially going to shout out Garden of the Giants, which has been out for a week already when you hear this, which is a which is a mouse guard game that Ethan and I are in on twitch.tv/anarisis, A-N-A-R-I-S-I-S. Mouse Guard is our favorite game in the whole world.
Hashtag play Mouse Guard.
Hashtag play Mouse Guard. And so if you want to see Ethan and I do things other than podcasting.
In action.
In action. See our faces even. You can watch us play Mouse Guard. But yeah.
If you want to contact Too Many RPGs as an organization, you can contact us on our Twitter, TooManyRPGs@gmail.com. If you want to be an expert, or if you just want to say nice things to us, either's fine.
We will accept both. You can find Ethan at SuperRobotBear on Twitter. Thank you to the Heart Points team, which is Zach, Diana, and Zach B, their editor, for letting me talk about your show a whole bunch.
Where can you find the show?
Where can I find the show? That's an important question. God, we're so good at this.
It's good time. Do it.
You can find it where all of the podcasts exist on the internet. You can also find them at Heart Points Pod on Twitter. You can find them on Facebook at Heart Points Pod, and you can find, they have a little website, heartpoints.wordpress.com, and yeah, they're cool people and you should listen to their podcast and talk to them about cool stuff.
Yeah, you should review their podcast just like you should possibly review ours if you enjoyed it.
Yes, please review our podcast if you liked it. It is important for the math. It is important.
The internet to... magic. Google. The great internet magician, Google.
Google. Bing Google, the great internet magician.
He wants you to review podcasts.
Tell your friends, and it's just, it's good. It makes us happy. If we're happy, we'll make better podcasts, probably, than if we're sad.
Unproven.
I mean... That is my hypothesis.
Okay. Oh, I'm gonna say one last thing.
Have a great day, everybody.
Oh no. Oh god, I missed it. Okay. Oh no.
Perfect.
Did we thank everybody? Did we thank Jeff?
You didn't thank Jeff. You should definitely thank Jeff.
I didn't thank Jeff. Oh my god, I talked about him like a million times in this podcast. Thanks to Jeff for listening to this podcast with me and also for doing the music. And thank you. You who are listening to this podcast. In your ears right now. Thank you.
You got through all the banter.
You did it. I apologize, really, that there wasn't like a third person to like cut back on the goofs. But I don't know if this is more or less goofs.
I don't know. Is our goof diluted by having a third person here?
I think it just changes.
I think it depends on
the podcast. I don't know. We don't have a large enough sample size to do a real good study on the concentration of goof in this podcast. I think that we need like at least 15 episodes for that.
Okay. So yeah, before you start pulling up the spreadsheets.
Yeah. I mean, you're the math guy.
Hate spreadsheets though.
Okay. But spreadsheets are just a way to do math.
I'm gonna yeah. That's the end of the show. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Oh, God. Wow. We're great.
Woo! We did it. All right.